Has that started?
Yeah.
Okay, Nikki, welcome to the Inner Fight Endurance podcast with myself, Steph, and also Zoe, who is over in New Zealand. How are you today, Nikki?
I'm really well, thank you. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and yeah, I'm here chatting to you to all things running today.
Yes, correct. Have you actually been running since the marathon? Because you did Milan a couple of weeks ago with us.
No, I was full of intention to go this morning and I don't feel that great. So I thought I'd just give myself 24 hours. My shoes are out since I got back from Spain yesterday. But yeah, not yet. I'm ready to run now. I've got the bug and I've been itching pretty much all week to run again.
So good. Got the bug to run. So yeah, like I just mentioned, you ran Milan Marathon with us. So you came with us to on our Inner Fight on tour. And tell us how that marathon went for you.
So the marathon went actually really well. I actually hated the first 10K. I really didn't enjoy the first 10K. I think because it was cobbles, it was very busy, it was very narrow. I couldn't find my flow. To begin with, when I run a marathon, I like to kind of spend the first five, I run myself into it over the first 5K, and I didn't feel I could do that like I normally do. So I found the first 10K quite stressful. And then as we kind of headed out of the city into the suburbs, I kind of found my flow between 10 and 20K. And at 20K, I was like, whoopee, I'm gone. I'm doing this. So I hit 20K halfway and I felt really good. And I was like, I was cruising along, just enjoying it, enjoying the people, enjoying the atmosphere. There was a restaurant giving away bacon and Prosecco, which was really bizarre. but just enjoying the atmosphere and the people and just really finding my flow with it, and I just hit a sweet spot in pacing and just held that. And actually I didn't feel the wall, which I'm usually very lucky. The fueling went well, so I really enjoyed the second half. And then the last couple of K, when you hit the cobbles again, that's when you felt the pain kick in. You could feel you'd run 40 odd K beforehand, but then that final turn, and I managed to spot you and Katie coming down the final straight, and that was like, because I've not normally had anyone on the finish line when I've gone abroad for races before, so to see that and then cross the finish line, it just felt so good. I just loved it.
That's so good. And I think like so many people have the opposite experience in a marathon, right? They go out really fast and they're feeling great for 20k and then they suffer for 20. So the fact that yours is completely flipped is probably a testament to your training as well, right?
Yeah. So yeah, training was well. I was really lucky. I managed to do the 12 weeks training. I missed one session in the 12 weeks. I really managed it carefully. I worked to make sure I kept a consistent routine. I did the strength work around it, kept myself healthy. And I think that consistency paid off. And obviously it wasn't just the 12 weeks, it was when I started back in August, gradually building my distance and routines, and that I think paid off come Milan 8 months later.
Yeah,
you said that at one point in one of your posts that you were talking about post Milan, that you were trying to find your joy in running again. Do you feel like that came from then doing something consistently? Or was it more from the group that you've been training with LRC? Where has that kind of joy kind of come back that you've like reignited?
I think it's both. I think running can be a very solitary activity and it's easy to do it on your own. But actually when you're doing that solitary activity within a community, it actually, and there are times when we all want to geek out and talk running to someone and you've got a group of people that want to do that with you, that kind of finds the joy, because everyone's everyone's on a different journey, but there are similar experiences. So there's always someone that if you're having an issue with something, then you can speak to them. I can speak to the other girls in the community. So even though I did a lot of my long runs on my own, I was doing other runs within the group. So it was that kind of, you're accountable to a time and a place to turn up. You've got a group of people there. There were girls I would run with that kept me accountable on pace. And but also when I was on my own, I running my long runs, you'd often see members I'll see out on their runs as well, or you'd they'd be out somewhere. So you knew you weren't alone. So finding that joy and actually realizing that I could do it. For me, I came back to running after a long break and wasn't sure that I had it in me. I tried to very much keep this experience the thing. I'm a different runner to what I was 4 or 5 years ago, and it's a new experience. And that what I did before, I shouldn't be comparing myself to the runner I am today.
Yeah, it's quite hard to shift that mindset from your previous expectations from a performance level and maybe a pacing level as well. Then having a decent break and then coming back in, most people expect to be performing at that same level where they finished. And we have to almost start over again with that beginner's mindset, but it's really hard to get your head around being a beginner again in something that you've been very competent in.
And I think as well, I think something to add here that is a huge testament to your training that a lot of people probably don't realize is that this whole marathon training block and the race itself, actually ran with no watch.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So like literally every long run, every speed session, no watch. No watch for the race, no feedback. How did that change your, I suppose, your mindset and your training throughout the block?
I think when I started with you guys back in August last year, I didn't have a watch. And I just kind of thought, oh, well, I'll just see how I go. And I've always run to feel, because I think on any given day, what your 7 out of 10 is might vary depending on how you're feeling, what's going on. So in order to kind of make it a positive experience, I didn't have a watch and I didn't get around to buying one. So I decided to go with the flow and not use it. But also, again, finding that joy in running, I wasn't comparing myself to a pace and knowing that before I ran to a certain pace and that was my 7 out of 10. Whereas if I'd not hit that, that could have been quite negative. And disheartening at times. So I kind of went with the flow and knowing that actually on any given day when I gave my RPE as expected in the training session, that was what I had on the day. So therefore I could leave a session going, actually, I've given my 8 out of 10 today and leave feeling really good. And then you springboard that into the next session. So again, when you're running the long runs, you're going, okay, I'm feeling at this point I can maintain it. It limits the kind of, sometimes when you overthink things or you start to kind of tell yourself things in your mind, which we all do on a long run, it limits, for me, it limits how often that happens. And you kind of go, actually, I'm running what feels good for me right now. And I can just maintain that. And if I felt good, I'd push it. And if I didn't, or it started to feel anything, I'd pull it back a bit. And it just became a very positive experience. So knowing that each time I could do it. And I had a stopwatch that I'd from PE. So I had time to know if I was running a certain number of minutes or a certain time on a long run. So I knew my times in terms of how long I had to go. But in terms of the pace, I had no idea.
So yeah, you just had like a kind of idea about when you were doing your training, were you just like, cool, I'm going to start my stopwatch now and at a certain point just turn around? Is that how it worked?
Yeah. So I essentially, if I was doing a 2 hour long run, I set my timer on my phone for 1 hour. The alarm went off at 1 hour. I turned around and came back again.
Cool.
And I would try and come back a little bit quicker. So I try and slightly beat the stopwatch. So I knew I'd kind of negative split the second half, but that only came out probably in the last 10 minutes when I knew how close I was. I can push it a little bit, just see if I could do it.
Yeah. And that's actually really good practice for any like type of race or event life that you're going to do as well, because you're always trying to put that like 10% extra effort in at the back end of your race anyway. So aiming for that neggy split life in your training without a watch. That's, yeah, that's impressive. That's cool.
Were there any points in your training or in the race that you wish you'd had one, that you felt like you
no.
needed?
Not at all. Because in the race, obviously they had pacers around the balloons. So I kind of chased the balloons down. So I started behind the 6-hour balloon. So I knew if I was in front of a certain one for, I knew roughly what I was running. So the balloons acted as a little bit marker, but again, they were there just at a point if they came into sight, it wasn't essential. And again, in the marathon, you just don't know. It's what happens on the day. You have no idea. There are so many things that have to go right to run a good marathon. That way, if you didn't have the watch, that wasn't an extra pressure. So had there been issues with any pain or fueling, it wouldn't have spiraled out of control. I could adjust it, kind of going, okay, that's fine. We just tweak, we carry on, we keep moving. Got to get to the finish. That's the only thing that matters. I don't even know what time I ran in the Milan Marathon. I've not even looked.
That's amazing, because so many people say as well, have people said to you since running the marathon, what was your time?
Only one person has, actually. I've only been asked it once, and that's funny, if that was another male PE teacher, but none of my friends have asked. But I again, I've kind of gone with the thing of, this marathon wasn't about time, it was about me finding the love of running, showing myself I could do it. So, and I've done it all with that time, so the time doesn't matter. I finished it, and ultimately the time only matters to me, doesn't matter to anyone else. So it's a case of, this one, it's done, it's finished, I loved it, and the time didn't even matter.
Totally. And time is just a couple of numbers in some type of order. So really, in reality, why do we put so much meaning onto that when we really don't need to?
Yeah, because if you finish a marathon in 2 hours, if you finish it in 6, you've run 42K in any way, in the best way you've done. You've done your best on the day. So for me, it's kind of, I did my best on my day. I had a really good experience. So that's what I'm taking from it.
What was your favourite part about Milan?
I think being with the Inner Fight community, because when I've traveled for marathons before, I've gone on my own. I've had no one there with me. I've kind of flown in very late, done the race, flown out straight away. So to actually have the community there, and to know that there's people out on the course that you may not know but are cheering in a fight, or there's others out on the course who are with you in spirit, even not physical. And I did run past a couple of LRC runners and Inner Fight runners. We crossed paths on things, and you just checked in with them, and it was just really nice. And also, like I said, really nice to see Steph and Katie as I came down the finish, to be there. There's someone there cheering, was there for me, and that was really nice to see, and just kind of made it, yeah, being with the community was really important for me, and really that's what made it a really special experience.
Yeah, that's great. And I think community, building a community like that and going to events like that together, heighten the experience as a whole in so many different levels, because you kind of bounce off each other's positivity and vibes and nervousness, but you're kind of all there and chatting it out, and you can kind of chat each other the night before the race. You can kind of chat each other's nervousness out a little bit, which is what we found when a whole group of us did a ultra in February. And yeah, the best feedback was that they really enjoyed the stuff prior to the race day, so that they could like feel good and know that we were all in it together, no matter what we were running, what distance, or how fast or less fast people were going. It didn't matter. It was more just, yeah, being there together and cheering each other on, and celebrating the fact that we can move our bodies positively.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's enjoying that experience, and it's more than just running.
It is.
Yeah. And I think just knowing that other people are nervous as well, like that, it suddenly makes you feel normal, right? Like if you see someone else is nervous or talking, you're like, oh yeah, that's okay. Like I feel like that too. We're all gonna be okay. Like we've all trained. Everyone's gonna help each other. And it is cool when you see like someone else from Inner Fight on the course as well, like whether they're running or spectating, like we obviously had some of the guys from Ireland fly over as well. And we didn't know them before the weekend. Obviously, we know Simon, who coaches them. But then you would run past them and they were on the side and they just start cheering for you. And you're like, what? Like, I don't know you. But it is really cool. So, yeah, it just brings everyone together in quite a nice way.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah. How else do you think the community, like, because you joined us at the end of last year, Lady Runclub, how did that come about? Like, why did you think you needed to find a running community in Dubai?
I tried to come back running prior to the end of the school year, earlier in 2023, and I'd worked through the couch to 5k because I hadn't run for a long time. I thought, I can't just go out and run, I'll do the couch to 5k. And I was literally running up and down Studio City, and I'd been with a running group back in the UK and kind of done things with them. And I was like, as much as I enjoy running solo, I won't stick at this and increase my distance and do other things if I don't join something. And you kept popping up on my Instagram. And and also the fact that Inner Fight is literally at the other end of where I live. So it was local to that. So, and also I always think the new school year for me is, I prefer that as the start of a year to January the 1st. So kind of beginning of September, I was like, right, okay, new school year, new things to start with. So to start with Inner Fight when they restarted the sessions in the autumn term, kind of meant I felt like I was there from the beginning, and there were lots of us new at the same time. So we were all getting to know each other together.
Yeah. And I suppose it's just that accountability to the sessions as well, right? Of like knowing you have to be somewhere at a certain time to go and run with other people.
Yeah, yeah. The booking in for Mondays and Wednesdays, having that time, I live my life in a timetable, so it suits how I work well. So I know that kind of 6 p.m. on a Monday and Wednesday, that's my time to run. I will get there even if I'm falling in 10 minutes before we're due to start, and having not driven past home, trying not to drive in to come. And you never regret. The hardest part sometimes is just showing up. No matter how tired you are, you don't regret not coming to a session ever.
Yeah. How have you managed? You obviously have like a busy work schedule, and like juggling in things like Run Club and other activities that you do. How did you manage your like training with work and your timetable and everything? How did you manage to train for a marathon with all of that?
The marathon was the priority for me. So for my own personal goals, you've got work, and that's a big part of what I do and a big part of my week, but it's not who I am. And I decided that actually, when I want to run a marathon, that's my priority. So you prioritize those sessions. So at the start of the week, I look at my schedule for work. I look at where so again, having set times for sessions, I put them in, they're non-negotiable in my diary. They are part of my week. And then, yeah, you do sacrifice nights out, meals, certain things. But if it's something you really want to do, it's worth the effort and time. And it was absolutely worth what I wanted to do. It's about, and I learned a lot more about myself. Even though I've run marathons before, I learned a lot about my resilience and my confidence in myself. And that grew training for marathon. And that was the priority. So when you have a busy job, if you want to do it and you want to do it well, then other things have to go by the wayside. But I loved doing it, so it didn't seem like I was losing out on other things. I enjoyed the things, and I like to run very early on a Saturday morning. I'd get my long run done first thing at the weekend, then it was done. And if I wanted to do anything else, I was good to go.
What was your self-talk when it's such a tease that you have to drive past your house to then get to Run Club? Like there's a big you know, like that's quite hard not to turn the steering wheel, you know, that way. So what was kind of your inner talk in your own mind to then not turn and head to Run Club each week? What was kind of your positive self-talk to get you there?
Mostly it was don't look right.
Simple but effective.
But again, it's like, it's that to go and be with like-minded people, the enjoyment, be with the community. It's, I've spent all day talking to children. Some of them are 2-3 years old. That conversation is very different to what you talk at Run Club. So to go and have an adult conversation for an hour is an enjoyable experience for me.
So it's a social, it's filling your cup up socially as well as physically, and then the after effects of the mental and emotional balancing that out as well.
Mm. Yeah, and you get into a routine. Most weeks are look vaguely similar. There are busier weeks than others, and you just get into, I like routine. So having a similar routine every week, you just adapt to it and you just work with it. So I'm very much looking forward to getting back to next week.
Yeah, it's very hard when you're away from it. You kind of, like you said earlier on, you get itchy feet. You just want to get out the door and start moving again.
Yeah.
Do you think being an expat has like made you lean into that Run Club more than you would if you were in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's how you meet like-minded people. And it's, as much as I'm very lucky that I have a school community ready-made, and I live in an apartment block full of teachers, which is a different, another community altogether. They're not necessarily people you would encounter socially through choice at home. Whereas a Run Club, you've got something in common before you start. And also it is, as an expat, meeting other women, particularly other women who are of a similar age. Like you've got the group of expats that are kind of in their 20s. We've got a lot of those who I work with out to party, but that's not completely me all the time. And I want to do things with people that are at a similar life stage and also to kind of work with people that have a similar interest and just enjoy the same things I do. And a Run Club, you find that straight away. And having the ladies only section is a big thing, because there's no judgment, it's welcoming. Sometimes you can go into a Run Club with lots of males, and that can, for some women, can be quite intimidating. Whereas to know there's a ladies section, that kind of really spoke to me when I joined. And then you've got to know the male half of the section as you've gone on, in kind of a safe way. You didn't feel like you were out of your depth straight away.
Yeah, far less intimidating, I think, going in that way.
Absolutely. And you meet, we have some women that probably wouldn't come to a mixed session in our group, and you meet women from the Emirati community who you wouldn't meet elsewhere if there wasn't a ladies only section.
Yeah, so you're interacting in a cultural way as well, and really getting to know the locals on a much deeper level than probably you do anywhere else in that part of expat life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of the beauty of groups, running groups and community groups. You meet a wider section of society through that way. And that's something I think Dubai does really well. There's lots of ladies only sporting physical activity things to allow women to meet each other through physical activity and to feel good about themselves, which is something I'm really passionate about as well. So,
yeah. And I think it does feel less competitive, doesn't it, when it is just females? I think sometimes you can walk into that like Track Tuesday setting and it's guys as well, and like you say, that is intimidating if that's your first session. Whereas I think when it is just ladies, everyone's sat there and it's a bit like, I mean, you're great at it as well, at welcoming new people, and that like someone always just like, it's not even me that runs with the new person. Someone else in the community just goes, "Hi, I'll run with you." And it becomes a lot more chatty. And I suppose it's like you say, it's a segue into the community. And then when people are ready, they go to the mixed sessions as well.
Yeah, even Track Tuesday, I was quite nervous when I had a session. But when you go in, it's all good. But yeah, having the ladies only sessions to do that in the first place, no one's worried about what anyone else is doing. Again, there's no, again, that element of what pace you're running. There's no judgment. Very few of our group probably run to pace a lot of the time when we're doing the sessions. A lot of it's done to feel. And that, I think that's a really healthy way for people to get into running and to always to feel as good as they can when they're doing sessions with us.
Yeah. And that it doesn't matter if you turn up and you want to walk that week. Like, I think there was a week that me and you just walked because you had run your long run or a race or something the day before, and you came on a Monday and you were like, I'm tired. So we just walked.
Yeah.
Just like, you don't need a 20-minute run right now. You need to let your body recover. And just knowing that that's okay, you can come to, I mean, technically you can come to any Inner Fight session and do that. But I think the perception is that you probably can't.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why as women we feel that kind of pressure or that intimidation to when we're joining things like that. Because I felt the same when I joined Track Tuesday in Dubai many years ago. And I for a while there I thought it was probably the track, physically going around the track and focusing on speed that was the intimidation. But actually the more that I thought about it and the more that I've had people come into track sessions here in New Zealand, I think it's that perception that we need to be seen as a runner, and sometimes even though we are runners, we don't see ourselves as that.
And yeah, I think it's about feeling good enough to be able to go to that session.
Yes.
It's really, am I a good enough runner to be able to go to that session and keep up? Am I going to be last? That's something you do worry about at times. And then you go and you see everyone's running all the paces, and once they're going, everyone's focusing on what they're doing, and you end up with a little group who are all similar pace to you. It's actually, that's really good. I really enjoyed that. I'd like to see that again.
And you're never last because people were doing laps and you don't even know what laps people are on, and some people are doing different sessions, and it's just, you kind of like get into the vibe of it and you understand that it isn't as intimidating, but you do have to take a little bit more of a leap, I think, in regards to joining a track session like that and believing in yourself that you are a runner and that you are capable of doing all of those sessions that we encourage you to do to better yourself in your running and in the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think it's getting over the fear of the unknown. It's not knowing what happens at track. You see some of the videos when you're all warming up in sync and it looks amazing, and you're like, I'm not sure that's me.
And I think, like you said, Zoe, as well, it's like people not classing themselves as a runner. But it's hard to actually like identify what that even means, because if you can run for a minute, you're a runner, right? Like there is no, you don't get to a status, you don't suddenly get to a certain point in your running journey or career and get that status of being called a runner. It's just whenever you decide that you run.
And I think that's a thing I struggle to, like, I think as individuals we sometimes struggle to call ourselves runners, but other people have perception of you as a runner. If you were to ask some of my friends what I do, you say she's a runner because she was there. And I'm like, and it's other people's perception of you and that kind of the label they put on you, and you're like, I only did this week. And it's an interesting kind of concept that you don't see yourself as it, but other people, it's the first thing they describe about you. And well, actually, there are days when I love running, there's days when I don't love running, and we're all so many other things besides that. But it's having that belief that you are capable of doing the session as best you can on any one day. And if you give your best, we can't ask any more.
100%. And your best looks so different day to day.
Yeah. If you give 100% of the 40% you've got, you've smashed it out of the park.
You've given 100%. You kind of talked about identity a few times before as well, and saying that you did quite a lot of running. Is it basically like pre-COVID?
Yeah, pre-COVID I was a hockey player in a former life, and when I gave up hockey I took up running. And from someone that said they'd never run a marathon to now having run five, that those words haunt me quite a lot. But yeah, I picked up running when I was 30, when I retired from hockey, and kind of it grew from there. And then COVID happened, and I just run the Chicago Marathon in 2019, and I kind of was a bit lost as to what to do next, and COVID happened and I stopped running. and kind of did other things and exercised in different ways. And then I moved to Dubai, and for the first year I didn't run here either. I kind of wanted to explore what's out there, but then I realized running's a big part of who I am, and wanted that there was one day I just wanted to pick up my trainers and go out for a run, and I'm really happy it came back.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's a really cool story as well. I think people would resonate a lot with you when you talk about doing Chicago, but then feeling a little bit lost afterwards. I think quite often we build ourselves up for an event, and it doesn't even have to be running. It can be in any other sport, but where we're building ourselves up so hard. And like you said, for this block, you were so consistent with your training and you're so dedicated at turning up to each training and doing the work, that when you finally get to the part, what I like to call the party or the celebration, which is the actual race day, you kind of, after that, you ride a high of endorphins and stuff for a couple of days, but then you kind of do massively drop a little bit. And in saying that, you may not have this time because you also just went away on camp with a whole lot of kids, but with Chicago, or maybe Steph, you could sub in here and talk about it. Like, how do we then move out of that slump, or out of that point where we feel a bit stuck and we don't know what to do next? Is it finding another event, or is it finding joy in running in different ways?
I think in a previous life, I would have signed up for another marathon pretty straight away, knowing what I want to do. I ran 4 marathons in 18 months, and it took a toll on my body. And I got to a point where when I hit Chicago 20, I'm like, my body can't do this for a while. I've got to stop doing this. But I didn't have the kind of post-marathon blues. I was just felt a bit empty. I thought I was just going to leave it. But like now, I've had 3 weeks off running, and I've kind of not thought about any racing or anything. I knew, I think because I had a few days off, then I was back at school, and then I've been away. I've kind of allocated this time to no running anyway. So kind of it was always my intention to come back this weekend and kind of then look ahead. But I think for me, it will be a change of distance. I think I love a 10K. So I'm leaning towards some 10K focused work for a bit. I think shorter, faster, and kind of just enjoy that bit for a while, I think that's kind of my current thoughts on where it is. But yeah, sometimes a change of distance is quite a nice thing to do, particularly in the heat in Dubai. I've not trained as the heat's going up. I've only trained as the heat's coming down. So that might be an interesting experience for me in the next few weeks. But yeah, it's very tempting to sign up to another marathon in October. Old me probably would have been straight on the sign up, but I'm just going to pause for a bit, I think, and see how I feel.
And I think that shows that you're invested in the process, right? So one of the things Zoe said was that after that marathon, we can have that crash. And it's super common. Like, I definitely feel it after a big event that you do lull, and all of a sudden, like, you might get sick, you might be a little bit injured, you're definitely tired. And you suddenly can't train the way that you were in the 3 weeks before the marathon and things like that. But if you, in my opinion, when you start to understand that post-race bit of recovery is also part of the process, and like you say, the race is just the party, you start to realize that it's always going to ebb and flow, and that's okay, and that it's not just about like distracting yourself with signing up for another race straight away and not processing everything. But yeah, if you don't fully love the process, then it will just be about that race. And I think that's when people get stuck on time goals and things like that as well.
Yeah, we definitely need to fall in love with the process more, and even fall in love with the downsides to training and the downsides to running, because it's something that we just need to rephrase and say, you know, like, this is just a season, or this is just a patch where I'm going to focus on maybe my breathing while I'm running rather than anything else, or I'm going to go to Ladies Run Club or Sunrise Coffee Run for the social aspect and not really worry about anything else in regards to what you're doing and why you're doing it, and just kind of be in the moment and enjoy it, which is definitely what Nikki has taught us today, is a lot of, you know, don't look at the data, enjoy it, enjoy the process, be consistent, and you're winning at life.
Oh, yeah, I think that's just enjoying the process. I think it can get very like, I have to do this, I have to do that, and life every week gives us a different challenge, and you can't always do everything you want to do, and you do have to, as we get older, we have to listen to our bodies. I don't recover as quick as I used to because I'm a bit older, I have to do things slightly differently, and that's part of the fun, actually. It's going, actually, how can I do it well, enjoy it, and find different ways of performing well? And I think that kind of process over the past few weeks of working at how my body reacts to long training runs and how I recover, taking my recovery a lot more seriously, has been key to being able to be consistent, because I can't just bounce back anymore. I have to think about it these days and think about what I'm eating, sleeping, how I manage my days, because otherwise you don't get the quality.
You have to stop yourself. Sorry, Steph. I was just going to say, do you have to stop yourself sometimes from doing training or overtraining?
Yeah, because I have to be careful what I post on Instagram, because Steph might tell me off for doing too much.
We see everything.
I know. I keep going, oh, like, Steph will see. Yeah, I can have that. I do sometimes have that habit. But again, it's only if I do it, then I have to deal with the consequences. So it kind of makes you think a little bit more now.
Yeah. And it's not detrimental to us, right? Like, we're programming things, but like, if your body is saying no, you know that more than we do. So that's where, you know, you guys have to kind of front foot that and be like, no, today actually I need a rest day. Tomorrow I'll do X, Y, Z, and you'll do it better.
Yeah, exactly.
And just taking into account that other life stress, because like Zoe said, like, we can program the perfect week, but we don't know what you might have go on at work or at home or something. So if everything else is going crazy, like if all of a sudden you're working really long hours, but your training plan says you've got to go and run hard repeats, it's like, actually, that's probably not the best thing for you. But it's having that awareness of knowing how you're feeling and what's going to really benefit you that day or that week. Because like you say, like, we have this perfect idea of how the week might go, but it can all change. Like, life.
Yeah, and it is being kind of flexible within that plan, and that's why it's really great to have you to chat to, saying, actually, I've got the, I think when I was running towards the Burj, I had a busy week, and we talked about how I could sort everything out and still finish the week, and that worked really well. Just being able just to talk it through for 10 minutes with someone is a real massive help, and that, again, having that community there and you guys as coaches is a real important tool to go, actually, I'm thinking this, but sometimes you just need to soundboard it on someone so that you're not actually doing, so just reassure yourself, I think.
Yeah. That conversation, actually, we had a coffee and you actually hashed everything out, right? Yeah. So I just asked you one or two questions and you just spoke your way through, and it was just, you just needed to vocalize and hear it almost out loud as to what was going to work best for you. And then once you had done, you were sweet. Like, off.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sometimes it's just, you just want to just talk it through again. I think I've got this right, but I just need to, it is that self-reassurance.
Yeah. But yeah, in summary, a really good training block and no data to show anyone.
No, just the finish photo.
Yeah. So good.
I was just going to ask, in regards to the no data, did you ever do things in your training and your running where you did like a body scan from like head to toe or toe to head as you were going and going, oh, yep, this, you know, maybe my glutes are working here, because you've done strength training, you kind of knew that they were starting to fire more, or I don't know, I'm holding tension here, let it go. Did you kind of focus more on that because you weren't focusing on looking at a watch or anything else?
Yeah, like in my first 5K of my long runs, I would always kind of just go think about how I swing. First thing I always think about is my breathing. What is my breathing doing? I just need to keep that thing, making sure my arms were relaxed because I can bring my shoulders up. We all really can do that. And just kind of, again, finding the flow, just thinking about what the body is and just checking in with my body, how it feels on the day to what I feel like I can run. And that for 30 minutes in your long run is, I think, for me, is a really valuable tool to then, again, set you in the right mindset. If the body feels good, your mind's in a good place to go, right, okay, I've got this, I'm off now for the next 2 hours. Doing that there, sightseeing's always good. And I think on the beach, right, there's lots of people there. I used to find random friends for a few K and they'd run along next to me. One woman told me not to stop. I was like, I'm still going, you can come, but if you need to stop, I'm not waiting.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I think if you can settle into your body like that at the start, you're really setting yourself up for success as well. And you just, you know, you're there to enjoy it, like you said, and people watch. And it's a nice way to train and to race.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one last question for you, because obviously a lot of people are asking me about where the next Inner Fight on Tour is and this and that and everything, what marathon should they do? But from your perspective, for someone who is planning to run a marathon, what is the one piece of advice that you would give them?
I think it's, it's enjoying the process. It's being... enjoying the whole training, being able to, it's a big learning curve about yourself and going, actually the travel, like you said, is the party. Going to the race is the party, it's the celebration of everything you've done. And I think running a marathon in another city is the best thing in the world. It is to be able to travel doing something you love is a real privilege and really amazing experience. So I think be ready to enjoy the process. There is dedication and hard work and consistency have to be in. But if you want an amazing experience, why not give it a go?
Amazing.
That's great. Sound advice.
Thank
you. I think you've convinced everyone. we're all going to go run a marathon now.
Yeah, we're all going to go to Europe and run another marathon.
Let me take there my watch go. Off.
Negative feedback. Watch anyway.
Oh, that's great.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Nikki. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we look forward to running with you next week once you're back.
Yes, I will see you on Monday.
Thanks, Nikki.
Bye.
See ya.
I don't know how you turn it off.
She's gone.
How do I stop recording? Do you know how I stop it?
No. I don't have. Oh, do you go?
I've got it.